The church celebrates all over the world on this day, Ash Wednesday. People receive ashes on their foreheads, and it's a sign of the beginning of Lent. Lent is a liturgical season that, though it seems long, goes by very quickly. Before you know it, we'll be at Easter. And this season is meant to prepare ourselves to celebrate worthily and devoutly the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus during Holy Week. The Paschal mystery, the mystery of the suffering and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, is the most important reality there is, because it's the reality of God's love, His grace, and His truth. Lent is a time for us to renew our appreciation for this great gift of Christ and to renew our devotion to Him personally. In one of the Psalms, we hear the words, "If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts." A couple weeks ago, I was in the Philippines, and I was visiting a church and praying there. And near the sanctuary, they had these two banners, and one was on the left side of the sanctuary and the other on the right. And they said those words. The one banner said, "If today you hear His voice," the other banner said, "Harden not your hearts." And it's a message from Psalm 95, and it reminds us of the need to listen to the Lord. What is a hardened heart? It has to do with our soul. It has to do with becoming spiritually insensitive. Lent is a time for us to renew our soul. A lot of people are deeply concerned about their body, and we should be. We should exercise and eat healthy foods. But the most important thing we have is our soul, because it's eternal. Lent is a time to make sure that we are healed of our hardened heart, to make sure that our heart is open to the grace of the Lord and His word. How do we get a hardened heart? Well, it's when we sin and then we don't repent of our sins. Someone may be struggling with this or that sin, but you got to keep up the good fight, because if you don't repent of your sin, you don't even try to repent of your sin, you'll become spiritually hardened. A hardened heart comes to us when we don't trust in the Lord and we don't want to pray and we don't want to do His will. Lent has to move us away from it. One of the key things about Ash Wednesday is the reception of the ashes. We each receive ashes on our heads. Now, the ashes remind us of our mortality. "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And they also remind us of our sinfulness. Repent and believe in the gospel. In other words, the ashes are telling us, you're going to die. Everything about your life is going to end in the grave and would decay into ashes. It's also saying to us that we need to repent of our sins, that we're sinful, that we're capable of sinning and offending the Lord. Now, this is a little bit difficult because it seems like a negative message. Most people today, certainly in America, have this concern of making sure they have a positive self-image. They want to make sure they have self-esteem, but the ashes that we wear on Ash Wednesday are telling us, you're going to die, and that you're sinful. And that's it. And it's like, where's the good news in that? You know, we go to church for some good news, and these ashes that we have tell us these negative things. But the ashes are put upon us in the form of a cross. What does that teach us? That teaches us that we have to go to Christ. It teaches us that when we face our mortality and our death, which is a fact of every one of our lives, you're going to die. You know, sometimes when people die, we say, well, they've died, but that's not going to happen to me. Or if it happens to me, it's going to happen a long time from now at a situation that I'm going to be expecting death. Death is a fact of life. And sin is a possibility for every one of us. Well, the ashes are put upon us in the sign of the cross, telling us that when we face our mortality, when we face our sinfulness, we have to look to Jesus Christ. Whenever I celebrate funerals, usually when I'm doing the prayer service the evening before the funeral at the funeral home, I talk about how we're now forced to face the death of someone. You know, facing the death of someone you love is very, very difficult. It's a great sorrow. But I tell the people that right now, we not only face this person's death, but we have to face Jesus Christ. We have to take this sad experience of death to the Lord Jesus. We take the ashes that remind us of our mortality and of our sinfulness and bring them to Christ. Jesus Christ conquered the ashes. When he died, he did not decay. He did not decay into ashes. He rose from the dead in the resurrection. Jesus Christ has come to give us the possibility of forgiveness in his divine mercy. In this way, Jesus gives us hope. If we don't have Christ, if we don't have the Spirit of Christ within us, all we have ultimately in the end is our own death and our own sinfulness, our own mortality and our ability to offend the Lord. That's not a whole lot. Sounds quite negative, but we go to Christ. I tell people that the cross looks like a plus sign. It's very positive. It teaches us that when we follow Christ, we're moving in the positive direction. And this is where the sense of self is really improved. If we just look at ourselves alone, then we're nothing except sin and death. But if we bring this to Christ, now we have hope. Now we have hope for eternal life. We have hope that the story of our lives does not end in death, that all of our relationships are not wiped away by death. And we have hope for forgiveness. Can you imagine what it would be like if it were impossible to be forgiven by God for any one of our sins? No matter how little or few or serious or many our sins are, imagine what it would be like if it was impossible to receive God's mercy. Well, Jesus came to bring us this gift of divine mercy. And so the ashes are something positive. They teach us to go to Christ, and therefore they teach us to have hope. On Ash Wednesday, in the Gospel for the Mass, we hear about Jesus telling us about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And he condemns hypocrisy. He condemns the idea of doing these things in order to appear publicly as holy or good. He tells us that when we pray, when we fast, when we are charitable to others in our almsgiving, that we do these things secretly, that we seek to please our Father in heaven. Our Heavenly Father is with us. He's watching us. And he looks into our heart. He looks into our heart. He wants to see if our heart is hardened. Psalm 95 says, "If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart." So we have to understand that we are in the presence of the Lord always. And we need to seek to please him by our prayer, by our fasting, by our almsgiving. When we pray, and we should pray more during Lent than any other time of the year. And I also say we should pray more whenever we're in some difficulty. When we pray, we're worshiping the Lord. Do you know that behind every sin is a kind of idolatry? It's a kind of worshiping that which is created over the Creator. Doesn't matter what the sin is. So when we pray, when we worship the Lord, when we praise Him, when we intercede, when we make petitions, when we honor the Lord, we're worshiping God. We're putting Him in the number one place in our lives. When we fast, when we give up eating certain kinds of food and so much food, well, it does a number of things for us. It helps us to understand the poor who have to go with hunger every day. It helps us to understand that our body is not the most important thing in our life, but our soul is more important, because our soul is eternal, and it's through our soul that we have our relationship to the Lord. We have to make sure we have a healthy soul. If our body is healthy, but our soul is rotting in sin, it's not too good. So our fasting helps us to remember that our body is not number one, but our soul is. Fasting also is a great sacrifice that helps us to realize that we don't need to satisfy every one of our desires. You know, some people go through life thinking that the most important priority they have is to do everything they want and satisfy every one of their desires, no matter how good or bad they are. Well, you can't live like that in a community. You can't live like that in relationship to other people. It's a way to ruin your relationships. So fasting helps us to overcome that temptation to want to satisfy every desire that we want. And then charity, almsgiving. This is very important. Christ came to teach us to love one another as he loves us, and he loves us totally. In Lent, we're challenged to give more. We should think about our lives. Are we charitable to others? We're not just talking about in what we think of others or feel about others. We're talking about something much bigger. We're talking about our sacrifices. You know, we should give to others, to our friends, to our family, to those who are strangers, even to our enemies. That's what Jesus did. He gives everything. He poured out his precious blood for every one of us, even those who despised him. And it's because of that that we understand and can experience God's love. Are we charitable to others? Do we pray enough? Do we make enough self-sacrifices? Or are we just worshiping ourselves and creation around us? Are we worshiping things that are sinful? Lent is a time to exercise spiritually. It's kind of like a spiritual training camp. It's a time to make sure that we truly have a heart open to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, with Ash Wednesday, we begin our journey towards Easter. This season, at this point, may seem like it's a long one, but believe you me, it will go by very quickly, just like life does. Before you know it, we'll be ready to celebrate Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Great Easter Vigil. These ashes of Ash Wednesday remind us of our own frailty, our own weakness, our own mortality. But above all, they remind us of the greatness of our God, the Most Holy Trinity, the one God, Abba, Father, Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, our sanctifier and our evangelizer. The Most Holy Trinity is our greatness. These ashes teach us to find our identity, our greatness, and our relationship to the one God. Today we begin the spiritual disciplines of Lent. May we persevere. This is important. May we persevere in these disciplines. Because these disciplines, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, help us to follow Christ. There was a saint who said that we take nothing with us when we die except our charitable deeds to others. Our devotion to the Lord, our sacrifice, our charity to others is what we take into eternity. May we persevere in these disciplines of Lent so that when we come to Easter, we truly are new people. We truly feel like we've just been baptized and have received that great commission of the Lord to follow him and to lead others to follow him as well. May we live this Lent well. And if you haven't begun on a good step at this point already, begin again, go to confession and start over. The sacrament of reconciliation is the chief way by which we are spiritually renewed in the grace of Christ. I strongly urge you to make the sacrament of confession part of your life. It's a way to experience within your soul the precious gift of divine mercy by which we are made new. Lent has begun, and may we find ourselves at Easter time as brand new Christians, ready to take on the world, the flesh, and the devil with the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. God bless you.